One thing we have to understand is most of the vendors selling on Amazon are small businesses.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a lot of bigger companies, but I think it's, again, just truly being mindful of how much we're ordering. This is something that I'm still working on.
The world has changed so much. Everything's online and everyone's attention span has shortened. Instagram, TikTok is now the way we communicate.
Hi, I'm Margaret.
And I'm Stetson, the mother-daughter team at Everything Envy.
Former professional home organizers turned content creators.
In this podcast, we talk about the behind the scenes of our growing business and how we figure out how to navigate through the constant changes in social media.
Welcome to the Everything Envy podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm super excited about this episode that's dropping today because we've had an interview with Anca Andor of Gracefully Glam. Oh my gosh, it was such a great conversation that we had with her. She talks about how she's become more mindful of what she's buying for content creation. And I love when she talks about how she's been practicing balancing her work life with self-care and how she's learning to give herself grace when things go wrong. I know that you will get so much out of this as well because she talks about just like her current health journey and how she got into the business as an influencer and where she's come from. And it's just such a fun, such a powerful interview. So without further ado, on to the episode. Okay, we have a guest with us today. Her name is Anca. And Anca is the creator behind Gracefully Glam. She has a lifestyle blog sharing affordable finds for everyday life. And Gracefully Glam started in 2016 as a creative outlet when she sold her production business, and it turned into a dream job of creating content for everyday life at home and travel. We are just so happy to have Anca here with us today.
Yay. Hello, hello.
Yay.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting.
Oh, we are so excited to have you. So we've met you at a few influencer events. I feel like maybe one, like two at least, two or three
I
at
think
least.
Yes.
I know
three,
we connected definitely. With you a lot more when we went to New York for the Amazon Live event. That was really
I
fun.
Think we first met in LA at the first summit.
The
in
first
November
summit,
of 2022.
Was it that long already? Oh my gosh.
I know. I feel like 2022 was a weird year because so much was going on for us. We were transitioning and things.
Yeah.
But that was our first Amazon event was November. And then
that was fun.
Last year was a blur. 2023. Whoa.
Yeah. And then you were in San Diego. So just really good friends in the Amazon program. And like we did, if you listen to Vikita's episode, we know you girls, like we watch your call, like your content, we follow you, like we hang out with you at the events, but like, we don't really know the story. And so that's to dive into. How did you get started? Even just that intro. I'm like, I didn't know you had a production business.
I love that too, because a lot of times when we start to follow someone, we kind of look at someone's middle or end and, you know, we kind of go, oh my gosh, but you know, they don't really know, or not that they don't know, but how did we get started? How are we, you know, how did we get to where you see us now?
Yeah.
And so I love sharing my story to inspire people that it's okay if it takes a little while. It's everything that's worth it. It takes time. And, you know, there were so many bumps. And I'm not saying by any means I'm super successful now. I'm definitely at a point where I'm really happy with how my business is going, but it was not always this way.
Yes.
Let's start with that, Anca. Tell your story. We just want to hear like how you started in business in general, and then just kind of move along as you flow, because I know you're going to talk about how you got into the Amazon influencer world and all of it. Just tell us your story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm one of 10 kids. My mom and dad had 10 of us. And I was always like, oh, well, there's, you know, especially when I was younger, I'm like, well, I'm definitely not going to get an inheritance. And then in my late 20s, I was like, that is so wrong. I actually inherited probably one of the greatest things that I could have ever inherited besides money is my dad's drive to you know, just dream big and to never give up. This is him. Like, he says he's gonna retire when he dies, and that's his motto, and he's still going and he loves what he does. And I feel like I got that from him, and I just never give up. If something, you know, doesn't work out, it's okay. Just take a step back, reevaluate, and keep going. So I was 24. I'm 36 now. I was 24. So 2014, when I came to my husband with this, and bless my husband's heart for going along with all my crazy ideas. Seriously, any other, I'd be like, sit down kind of thing. But I said, I want to open up a bridal shop. I want a bridal shop. And so we sat down and we kind of made these plans. And then before I knew it, in September of 2014, I opened up my own bridal shop and I called it Inca's Bridal. And it was awesome. I had no experience of business whatsoever. I just kind of winged it. And in a way, I'm kind of grateful that Instagram and Facebook all kind of started at that time. So it probably would have been better because I'd have inspiration, but in a way I didn't have anybody to really, to compare to. So I just had whatever I saw, maybe in other bridal shops. And, there was a lot of things that I learned, a lot of mistakes because I knew nothing about a business. And then two years later, David's Bridal opened up their shop literally down the street from mine and took us out of business. So I was renting. So I sold everything. There was another bridal shop that took all of our stuff and I was really grateful. And one kind of cool thing that I did while I had my bridal shop is I started going to wedding shows. Are you guys familiar with wedding shows? So like when mm-hmm. you get yep. engaged, you go, okay. So as a bridal shop, as a vendor, I went to these wedding shows and I was like, I could do this better. I could totally put on one of these bridal shows. So that's what I did. I started kind of like a side job. And as I had my bridal shop, I was doing these massive bridal shows. Cause of course I can't do anything halfway. I have to go all the way. Mm-hmm. So I closed my bridal shop and then I went full time with my production company, which produced just beautiful kind of couture, very elegant, bridal shows. I had Randy Fanoli. Are you guys familiar with Randy Fanoli from Say Yes to the Dress?
Oh, yeah. He's on. Yes. Why does that name sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. We flew him down for one of the shows and he sold out tickets and he spoke to a bunch of brides and that was so cool. And then we expanded to a baby and toddler expo. And that was probably the biggest thing that I've ever done. We've had over 100,000 people come through the doors in one weekend.
Wow.
So I put on all that. And then I got to a point mentally, physically, health-wise that my doctor was like, if you don't do something now, you will have a heart attack by 30. And I was 27, 28 at this time. And so I was kind of forced to sell that business as well because I just was not healthy. I was actually obese. I wasn't taking care of myself. Everything was just revolved around work and I was killing myself slowly. So I sold off that production company. And that's when I was like, I need something to do. I went back to my day job, which is an amazing job. I was a applied behavior analysis therapist for children and adults with autism. And I did that. Sorry, let's backtrack a bit. I started my blog in 2016 and I worked my day job as I had my blog up until 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the blog just kind of developed on its own. I had no expectations for it. I'm a creative person. I just needed something to do, when I came home from work and it just took off from there. you just work and work and work. And then all of a sudden opportunities kind of, present themselves to you. And I'm so thankful for all those. So that's where we are now.
Wow. Yeah, so. That's quite a remarkable pivot that you've done from one thing to the next. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking about how blogs and things, they just take off and they get their own momentum.
Yeah.
And then things just start changing and shifting from there.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
What what I'm curious, the production company, you're saying you're producing, like, just it was putting on these shows, like these big shows, you're saying. So you were like head honcho managing everything.
I can't imagine.
I created
the vendors, getting the invites and doing the marketing, just like
everything. I was
collecting all the deposits and all the things
everything.
You probably had to collect.
I was doing the job of a team that should have been probably 8 to 10 people.
Did you have it? So you didn't have a team?
No, I didn't have a team. Okay. I hired a manager for the days of the events so that I could, you know, focus on other things, which was probably the best decision ever. But I did everything, and that's probably why I got to a point where it was not
good. Your body was...
number on you. Oh. It's crazy what stress will do.
Yeah, I've been through it out of
because
stress myself.
To like making that decision to be like, okay, you're right. Like, I do need to change something.
Yeah.
Like, obviously.
I mean, the baby and toddler expos were so much fun, but we had over 500 vendors, and I kind of had to almost guarantee to them that, you know, all these people would come through the door. So then I had to make sure that I had all the marketing and advertising. And again, Instagram, Facebook was there, but it wasn't as, you know, big, or maybe I didn't really know it as well back then. So it was
you
more
had to market in other ways.
I did a lot of radio advertising, but you can't really track that, right?
Yeah.
Where it's coming from, word of mouth.
Is there a reason why you didn't have a team to help you? Was it one of those things where you just like got caught up? I mean, this has happened so many times for us where we're like, when our business first started exploding online, we're like, it was just us and we're just go, and we don't have a second to like, oh, we actually should hire people. And that's a whole nether job, like just bringing on people. But
yeah,
for
like
sure.
You don't have a pause. Like there's no pause button to where you can even take a break to even think about bringing on a team.
Exactly.
Exactly. And again, I was still super young. I didn't really have the capital yet for a team, especially for someone that would probably need a full-time, you know, salary.
Right.
Plus, and I just was not there. So
yeah.
Basically my husband and I.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
I also got sued once, which I won, but we'll leave that for another day.
Oh my God.
Within
all
the
things,
production
right?
company.
So you
but
said
I
that
won,
you,
I won.
You started your blog in 2016. And so you said that you started it as like a creative outlet. So how did you start it? Like, what were you writing about when you first started
fashion.
It?
I always loved fashion, especially which is the reason why I had a bridal shop, which was also very heavy on prom and special events. So one of the funnest things that I got to do was visit all these shows. So we went to Chicago for shopping and LA and Vancouver. Mm-hmm. So it was really fun. And I got to pick out all these different, you know, dresses and things like that. We did fashion shows with them. So it was so cool. So I started out focused on fashion. And then it kind of it just started to shift into a lot of home, because at the time I was so in love with home decor, but we were living in like a 300 square foot apartment. Like I had no space for creating home content until I think it was 2021, where we actually finally were able to move into a house. And that's when I had the space to create my home content. And that's when Amazon reached out to join their Amazon influencer program. And I had no idea what that was. I was just like, oh, I didn't even know that existed. I'm just here creating my own Amazon content, sharing it to my Instagram and my blog.
So did you start you had your blog, so your website in 2016, did you get your Facebook and your Instagram? Obviously TikTok wasn't out then. Were you starting to like dabble in social media too then?
100%. Yeah. I started my Instagram. I had a personal one. I had like 60 followers on there, and I just, you know, transferred it or just changed the name. And then I got a website template. Thankfully I had a lot of experience with websites because I had them for my bridal shop, both of my productions. So I did have quite a bit of experience in WordPress. So I just needed to get the template, and I kind of put it together myself.
Yeah.
And in your blogs, when you first started, were you already sharing Amazon links at the time?
Yeah, and I was doing a lot of different things. I was doing Amazon, I was doing Nordstrom, I was doing Old Navy, I was doing all the things. I was very heavy on LTK at the time. So LTK was kind of our bread and butter. And then we over the years, we shifted to more just Amazon.
And then did you have affiliate links for I mean, obviously for Amazon, but like for everything else, like Nordstrom's or, you know, wherever
just through LTK.
Just through LTK.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting of how, like, that's why I asked about like having a team and things earlier. Cause like you had to like do everything. And so because of that, you sort of know how to do everything, which is nice. But as entrepreneurs, we basically have to know how to do everything. But then you realize like what you love and then what you're like, okay, I never want to do this again. You know what I mean? Like for us, we're like, we really need to outsource writing our actual blogs on our website because I'm not a writer. And like, I just need to accept that. And like,
it's and so I can do it, but it takes me so long.
Absolutely.
But at the beginning, you know, you're doing all these different things. So obviously, and you're as responding your business grows and changes, you're like, okay, great. This is the first thing I'm going to pass off because I know I do not want to do this.
But that takes time. Like for me, it 100%. Takes, oh my gosh, to trust someone.
Oh yeah.
It's, I always go back to, I'll just do it myself. Like I have such trust issues.
Oh yeah. We went through some of those things too. Like we hire a team to help us with the podcast and then I don't know how long we were with them, a couple of months, and then we ditched it. It's like, this is not working. It. Yeah, yeah. It's more work to give it to them than it is to just edit ourselves.
I had so many of those.
That was one. Yep.
And I feel like all of us have a little control freak in us. Like I accept that. I'm like, I like things a very specific way.
Yeah.
And our team knows that.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, it's just learning. And like you said, it's a big decision to have someone like come on and actually.
For sure.
And then also getting to that point, like you said, for having enough revenue coming in that you can justify.
Yeah.
And it's tricky because you know you can do it yourself. You're managing it, but you're not as efficient perhaps because, you know, maybe I could do it differently, but like, I know how many times do we get in that place where we're like, I need to outsource this, but I don't know if I have enough revenue. And you just get into that little cycle and it takes a lot of bravery, doesn't it? To just like cross the bridge and just hire the person to do it. And then you look back, at least for us, I mean, look back and go, oh, wow, we should have done that a long time ago.
Yeah, for sure. Well, my husband, he's part of the business. So he does so much. Like he's my right arm. Like he does everything that I don't do. So if I do like a huge photo shoot, he's there to like clean everything up or set everything up for me. It's amazing. Awesome. So we're definitely a good team. Yeah.
That's so nice to have someone. So 2021, this is kind of where we are, I feel like right now. So you said that Amazon reached out. Mm-hmm. How did, like, tell us a little bit about that and just like how that changed your life and business.
So at the time it was, most of our income was coming from LTK and then, this was before the pandemic because I remember having to shift so much more of my content to Amazon because that was like the only place that was open.
Yeah.
So I remember being like, oh my gosh, do I stop blogging or do I shift? And I shifted. And then it was, I guess, 2020 or late 2019 that Amazon, I guess, saw that I was probably driving producing
traffic,
more traffic, more revenue. And that's when I got the two emails, pretty much one after the other, to join their home program and their fashion program within the Amazon influencer program. And I didn't know what it was, but I knew does it matter with Amazon, it's like, you don't say no to Amazon, you do it because they know what they're doing. And that's when everything changed. They started really using my ads or using my content for a lot of their ads. And I'm not sure for whatever else, because all of a sudden it's now 2024 and I'm at 800,000 followers on Amazon. So they definitely helped a lot with those followers. That's basically what had happened. I joined the Amazon fashion program. I joined the Amazon home program. I started posting on our storefront often and, switching to reels, which is so much fun. I so much rather do videos than photos anyway. And that is kind of where everything kind of exploded and is where it is now.
It's kind of similar almost timeline to us too, just like our businesses of how we were doing something different. And then we realized we like, do we need to do this or do we need to pivot? And it was sort of the same thing where we realized we're like, okay, hold on. I think there's something to this. And that's when everything like changed is when we made that switch. Mm-hmm. I know you're really, oh, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, I still love doing photos and photos are great for things like Pinterest and your blog, but obviously Instagram is a lot more video, which does, and you guys do extremely well too, which is super well. And I thoroughly enjoy creating content for Instagram.
So you're on what would you say your main platform is? Because like I create content for Instagram, I always say, and then you know we distribute it everywhere. Do you have like a main one that you're focusing? Because I know you're on, you know, basically all the platforms, same as us.
I would say Instagram first for more social platforms, and then Amazon too, because I can't forget about all the followers that I have on there. I'm still it's still very like black and white as to how many people see your content on there, just because it's so hard for people to come back, which is something that a lot of people were voicing at the summits. And we're hoping that a shift will come to the point where it's like, oh, I wonder what, you know, everything Envy posted on Amazon. Well, even if I'm following you, it's very hard to find you. So hopefully they'll change that. But so I would say Instagram first, Amazon storefront second.
And then you have I mean, I know this, but I'm just asking for the podcast, but then you repurpose your content. Like you said, like, do you have TikTok? Do you have Pinterest? Yeah,
totally. I just share them kind of across the board. You know, TikTok is definitely we've seen lots of changes. YouTube is something that I definitely want to start again for 2024. Something that happened with YouTube a couple years ago, or I guess over a year ago, where a lot of creators got their accounts shut down. It happened.
We weren't really doing a lot on it, but we were testing it, and now we like are trying to get it unlocked currently. We're like, we don't even know what we did. So
I didn't realize until recently that it were a lot of creators that happened to.
A lot. So I'm not sure if it's because you guys are familiar with other people stealing content from creators. It's very awful, but I'm not sure if it has something to do with that or I'm not sure, but so I'm gonna try it again. So that's something that I want to focus on this year, but Instagram for sure is the main one.
And then you obviously do a lot with Amazon Lives. I see you on there all the time, so talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I definitely, I scaled back a little bit on the Amazon Live, but I still love to go live again because I have those followers on there. And I definitely want to cater to them as well. But live is so fun because I literally just go, if, you know, oh, I have a trip coming up. I'm going to share all the items that I'm bringing with me, or Valentine's Day, what, you know, items that I think people would love, you know, to receive. So live is just so fun because you can just, they allow you to just be yourself and, you know, you can literally share whatever you like that is sold on Amazon. So I love that. And then you can kind of just go live anytime you want. I've scaled back on Amazon Live and I'm focusing more on, you know, different areas of my business. One of the things that I really want to grow is my blog and newsletter. I say this to creators all the time, but Instagram, TikTok, they are not ours and can be gone this second. So just literally just giving it some attention every single week so that if something happens, it doesn't have to be like your account taken away. It could just be like Instagram being like, I don't want to show your stuff to anybody anymore.
Always have like those ups. Like last month, algorithm loved us. This month, algorithm doesn't like us. I'm just like, you know what? And I know what it goes like. It literally goes like this. And there's no, in my opinion, there's no rhyme or reason as to why. So it's like, and obviously that affects sales too, because not as many people are seeing it. So I'm just
100%.
Like,
yeah,
so that's very.
Yeah, I feel like it's alone. It's like a rope, you know, or a wave. When you get it going, and then the arc's really high, and then it trickles, and it won't start up again until something happens, some special video that it really liked, and then it starts again. Maybe you find that too.
100%. Like I couldn't have said it better. And I talked to so many creators, and we're all in the same boat. I have a friend who like was on, you know, the highest cloud that Instagram mm-hmm. offers at the end of January. And now it's like, oh my gosh, it's like a it's like on the other side. So
same for us. We had the best yeah. month in January, holiday month. And then now I'm like what?
Oh, okay.
What's going on?
But and I mean, that's why it's yeah.
ups and downs of business, right?
Ups and downs. And that's why, okay, I'm not wanting to focus all my energy on Instagram. I want to focus on my website, not just because I can make more revenue, but because I genuinely love to blog. And like you guys said, you create that beautiful content. I know you guys do photos, or even maybe if you don't do photos, your content in your homes is so beautiful, you could.
Yeah.
So you're good at that. And then you just get someone to do the ghostwriting or the copywriting for you. Yeah, because again, even with that, it's not necessarily an algorithm, but you just never know when Google decides push you to other people.
Exactly.
Yeah. And all successful entrepreneurs that have a big email list, I'll say, you've got to have that big email list. So make sure that you extract it wherever you can.
Totally.
And continue to build because of the thing. That is the one thing in your blogs that you actually own. And until you get that, it could be a little volatile and where like sales are coming from and trickling in here and there.
That's been a big focus for us too. End of last year, early this year is like email. We use ManyChat. Are you using ManyChat by chance?
Yes.
What do you think about it?
So ManyChat. Oh my gosh. So it's hard because if the follower has their privacy settings on, you'll see it actually sends it, but they do not receive it. They cannot see it.
Oh,
so
we've been having some issues.
So when you look at your backend on ManyChat and you see how like the percentage of people that actually opened it, it's because a lot of people have their privacy settings, or if they're not following you, they won't see it. So I have this love-hate relationship with it. And especially if a video goes well, it's not like you can go through and look it to see. So I always say, if you have your privacy setting on, or if you're not following our account, you actually might not see it in your DMs. So in that case, just tap the link in our profile.
That's a good tip. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah.
So you use it to, because obviously, I mean, we're using it the same way. I mean, we're paying, it's so much to keep up with. Like you said, when a video goes well, trying to make sure people find the link and they don't read.
Yeah.
So are you using ManyChat just for sending out, you know, links and the information to shop videos?
Yeah. Just for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when did you start it? I'm sorry, Anka. When did you start
ManyChat?
Yes.
I would say I started it like at least 6 months ago, if not more.
Okay. Probably us. Yeah. We started.
So I think we started ours in October, didn't we?
Yeah.
Beginning
one
of
thing,
October.
Well, just because you mentioned it, one thing that's really working well for us is collecting emails through ManyChat. Have you tried that?
No, but
it's so amazing.
So that, and they're consenting to it too?
So there's like a flow that you can set up. So I don't know if you've seen like Allie Hunter's like giveaways that she's been doing, but they've been blowing up, like doing really, really well. So I was like, okay, let's experiment with it. But we're not doing it so much for like the views or whatever. Like those are still good, but we're doing it to collect emails. So there's a sequence that you can set up in ManyChat where to get bonus entries, you can give you can ask for their email, and you can have them like explore your storefront and things. But it's really, really interesting. And our email list like tripled in the last few months. But there's so many things in ManyChat that we had no idea that you could use.
We're still discovering.
I'll explore that for sure. I'm going to be honest. Those giveaways scare me.
They do.
Because people are, you know, there's all types of people out there right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like that could be like a risk to like getting sued because it's almost like you have to almost record yourself choosing the winner just in case down the line somebody decides to say, hey, how are you able to see that this person actually liked and actually saved and actually shared? And you know what I mean?
Interesting.
I mean, you got to look at everything.
Yes. And maybe it's because I got sued in the chat.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah. 100%.
You definitely get gun shy when something happens, and then you try to do what you can.
Well, same with us.
It.
Like our Instagram got hacked, like, and we lost it for weeks, like years ago. But like for us now, we're like super, super anal and scared and cautious about everything just because of that. Like, because we know Instagram doesn't have any support.
No. But, and even when they say they do, they don't. But
I know.
Yeah. So I think, those are great. Of course, those are great. But I'll have to look into that because I didn't know.
Yeah, or using or just that. Adding in your links. Like you're like just being like, oh, by the way, I have a newsletter when you're already sending the link. I don't know. It's been really working for us. It's kind of been cool.
That's awesome. I'll definitely take a look at that.
Little tips.
But it is it's a great tool. No, it's a great tool. It's just, again, it just kind of sucks that half the people don't actually receive it. And a lot of people don't go back to check. You know, they're not like, oh, I didn't get this DM. Let me go. It's just
Right.
Their attention spans are so short. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have a bunch of questions, but one of them is I'm curious how you do your content. Cause I love to hear like how creators, like, do you batch your content? I know that you're obviously recording the content yourself. You have a studio in your house. I know, or at least you did before when you were setting it up. So I'm curious on all of that, like how you produce the amazing content that you do. Do you have a schedule?
I have my planner. So it's funny because I have my daily planner and I like to write down everything that I'm going to do that day, but I'm all over the place. I truly am. And it depends on the light. So if the light is awful that day, I will not shoot.
You're preaching to the choir. It's awful.
All about the light.
Yep.
So I make my day or I go around how the light is going to be that day. Because I work from home, I just do it whenever. If the light is good and I feel like I have a lot of energy, you know, then I'll batch my content and like if I'm in the kitchen and I have like 3 or 4 items, I'll do them all. Sometimes I'll just be like, oh, let me just quickly shoot this, you know, in the living room. So it's truly all over the place. I would love to say that I, you know, have, you know, from 9 to 12, I would love that. It would be so nice.
Yeah. I'm sort of
sets and gets it for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I get distracted. I get easily distracted. Like my sister, it's almost like I kind of get mad at like my friends and my sisters that call. I'm like, hey, just because I work from home, that doesn't mean that I'm available to chat at 11:45 a.m. Right. You know? And then, you know, they'll call but anyway, it's working from home is there's those goods and then there's those like, you know, bads. Cause I can say when I had my day job, I think I got a lot more done. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, you know,
mm-hmm. Well, and then, you have your phone, like you work on social and then you're probably going on there to share stories. And then you're all of a sudden
and you're scrolling
through other people's stories. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what am I doing? Like what?
That I just is wasted a half an hour scrolling through someone else's stories.
That is the hardest part. Do you have like I know for us, I always say like we post 4 to 5 videos a week, could definitely do more, but I feel like just like with our schedule, that's like been working for us. Do you have like a minimum videos that you post? Do you post at the same time every day? Like what's kind of working for that?
That's another thing. I should post at the same time every day because the algorithm probably likes that. But I don't know if it's just I post when I want, which is probably not a good thing. And I'll post once a day for sure. I've been testing things out with Instagram because we all know Instagram, is never consistent. So I've been posting up twice a day in the last for two weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And I've noticed that at least one of my videos every single week has gone viral.
Interesting. Okay.
And I don't know if it's because I'm posting more content and it's just almost like, well, there's a lot to choose from and Instagram pulls one. But all of a sudden I'll be like, oh, what's going so well? And sometimes I have to scroll down and be like, so it's not like just yesterday's is able to go viral, you know, even one that's 2 weeks old. And I repurpose content too. A lot of times because we have so much, right? And there's constantly new people following us and they haven't seen that content before.
Yeah.
And we all know it takes somebody 7 times to see something 7 times. I learned that from advertising to actually be like, oh, okay. It's in my brain now. Or a lot of times, I know you guys do this too, you can batch like top sellers or favorite kitchen items. So I'll like modify or edit it slightly to be able to reshare it. So that's been working really well too.
Yeah. I feel like out of all the social media platforms, and maybe it's just because we, it sounds like we like look at that the most, but like, I feel like that's the most like picky, or you're just like always trying to test. Cause you're like, great, 1 week it's going well.
For Instagram. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh. It always seems to be the tested platform because like, it's the one that changes all the time.
Like for that's us right now, we're testing lengths of videos. I'm curious for you, like, how have you seen, because we've had some lengths of videos go well for 20 seconds recently again, but then I've noticed like a lot of the shorter videos, like under 8 seconds, have been performing well. Have you been experimenting?
Yes. And I've been looking at the analytics, and if you look to see the retention, it's around that time and it goes.
Yes.
So if, even if you have like, okay, today's top five or five bestsellers from January, people are probably not looking, like, even if it does really, really well, it's probably the first one or two items. And then if you have in a list, they can see it and then they can still shop those items. But I can almost bet you people are not even seeing the last.
All the way to the end. Yeah.
They're not. So
it's like 30% of people will watch it to the very end or something for those longer videos.
And then when you talked about repurposing some of the older content for the new people that are coming on, because we know that most people are not going to continue to scroll back and see what you have. They're just going to see what's like today, like right now on their homepage. Yeah. And they're not even going to like look at your feed probably.
No,
Sarah,
no, exactly.
Bio.
Exactly. And that's why I like to direct people to lists. I think you guys do this too, because then once they're there, they can see all those different. I love shopping people's lists.
Yes.
You know,
we do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've definitely found that directing to a list is a lot better than like a photo or a video. It's a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're experimenting with the length too. Have you had any like, this works better? Is it kind of all over the place?
It is all over the place. Yeah. And I think Instagram.
Do you do longer and shorter videos?
I do.
Yeah.
Because when you do a bestsellers one, there's no way it can be short.
You can't fit it in.
No. Unless you're like showing it. Like,
exactly.
Literally for 2 seconds. But it's not able to be that short. So I feel like still the first one or two. That's why when I do my bestsellers, I always make sure to put like the ones that I think people really like right at the front.
At the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because chances are they're not seeing the whole thing. And I think about my behavior and what I do when I'm doing the same thing.
Exactly.
Unless it's something juicy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're like, okay, the gossip, then I'll keep watching. But if it's something like that, I'll keep scrolling. Right. So
we've experienced the same thing. Yeah. I think it's so interesting because kind of going back a little bit, but we sort of started around like the same time then like making Amazon related videos. And now obviously it's super, super popular. Like everyone's doing that, which is amazing. And I feel like the Amazon influencer program is still very small in relation to, you know, other affiliate platforms. Mm-hmm. Like it's wild how, I mean, there's a lot of people, but still, it's still pretty small. Have you seen like changes in that of like you were, I don't know if we have, but I'm just curious on your thoughts of like so many people creating sort of the same type of content and how you position yourself to sort of stand out among the crowd. Cause it's definitely what we're thinking about constantly.
Yeah. I literally was just thinking about that this morning. So this year, my husband and I made a lot of changes in our personal life. I'm currently on a health journey. So I'm actively losing weight, but that's not necessarily the main focus. The main focus is to get healthy. So we've completely changed to a plant-based diet. Exercise is a huge part of a routine. We're looking to reduce the amount of plastic in our homes, like little things like that. So I'm hoping to also share items or content like that with my followers, not to be like, oh my gosh, you guys need to stop right now.
Yeah.
But so I'm kind of thinking like, okay, instead of plastic containers, use the glass ones instead, because, you know, so I want to start incorporating that into our content, but it's very hard because I feel like and I don't want to say, because I've definitely been inspired by other people, but there's those that inspire, and then there's those that are straight up copying. Right. And it's really hard, because then that's when you kind of see almost like the same type of content all the time. So, you know, that's a great question. And I'm trying to figure that out for myself too. Yeah. Like there, I don't know if you've ever done this too, where you are scrolling, you're like, oh, I know who this is. And then you click, and you're like, oh, this is not that person, but this person is literally, it's like, so it's really hard, because you're like, okay, I'm flattered, you know, but at the same time, you're like, ugh. So,
and especially with the consumerism, like, just like, because we're constantly ordering products. I'm curious on how you manage inventory too, and like how you order and like how you store and all that stuff. But obviously, like, I mean, I have $400 in my Amazon cart right now, you know, of like products that I want to order to test out for videos. So I think especially that it's like, this is your job, this is your business, but also you're on the other end. Like, you know, I can't use, there's no way that you could use this all, or if companies send you PR, you're just like, what? It's amazing. Thank you. But I'm curious, like, your thoughts on that, especially new goal this year too.
I mean, I donate a lot, but it's crazy, because we are literally doing a huge purge right now. Like like half of my, items for Amazon Live, we're donating, we're giving away, because they're all brand new. We are 100% being more mindful of what we're ordering this year. And I want to focus on kind of using the same items in different ways. So like if I'm, you know, redecorating my living room and I'm doing a reel of the items, I want to show them in like different, how to style them in different ways. So I'm definitely... we really want to try to reduce our footprint, because we are, you know, we watch a lot of documentaries this year that like literally it completely changes the way you think. So plastic is a huge one. So something that I want to do is stop sharing as much plastic as I can. Because that's what I do. If I share it, you know, and it does really well, I'm now encouraging people to.
As an influencer, because you have such a strong following and are influencing people, that you can also make an impact going the other way now.
Exactly.
But I think just stuff like that, like you were saying, I obviously our followers like love to know, you know, what you're passionate about. And I know you've been sharing your workouts every day. Like that's super inspiring. And I think just that alone makes you stand out, you know, against the crowd. Like obviously when people are scrolling, the videos might look the same, or like you said, you're like, oh, I know that's this person's, and you're like, oh, it's actually not. That's really interesting. But just sharing your what you're passionate about, I think is the most
important. So I've actually been okay with taking almost like taking like a pay cut. So to be honest, I'm not even making as much as I did, but I'm actually happier. I'm making better decisions and better choices for our life, and then what I share with my followers. So right now I'm saying this is like my, it's time to take care of me era. It's it's a year of looking at labels, not just for your food, but also what you're putting on your body, what you're, you know, what you're using every single day. So slowly I'm shifting towards that. I'm starting to share plant-based recipes daily. And it's not that I'm pushing on you, but it's just like, hey, this is what I'm eating for dinner today. You know, and that's kind of where I want to go with my content. I'm looking forward to sharing more fashion. I love fashion, but I, for the last 4 years, I haven't been comfortable in my body to share fashion. And I always say to everybody, it has nothing to do with the number on the scale, because there's people in all shapes and sizes that are confident in just comfortable in their bodies. And I am not at the moment. I just want to get back to that and sharing more fashion and more travel later on in the year. We're going to Dubai in April.
I always wanted to go to Dubai. I'm excited for you.
Yes.
Really fun.
So I'm focused on getting to a point where I'm completely comfortable and, you know, wearing kind of what I want. And I have so many clothes from Amazon that are, that's one of the best things about Amazon, is because you got it 4 years ago, it's still going to be there.
I know.
So Amazon Live is super fun. And I just love that I'm able to share what I want. If I just want to hop on real quick and, you know, for 10, 15 minutes and share like my outfit, you know, mm-hmm. of the day, that's like the best thing. And then I can just share it with my followers and be like, hey guys, I'm going more into detail on my outfit for the day on my Amazon Live. So here it is.
And I love how you're looking at product, and I'm actually going to take this away from our conversation of just like, I have so much inventory and like, I have so much stuff where I'm like, I need to relook at the products or just like the things in our home a little bit differently. Like when we did the Amazon Beyond tour, we had to stage everything. And so, and instead of like filming a new video in the bathroom, I did like an ASMR, like basically resetting up the bathroom, but it was like the products were already there. So I think that's really good. Like you were saying, less like ordering conscious on what you're ordering.
Yeah.
I'm going to order these pillows, but I can use them in every different way. So I think is really smart and just really good to look at, or ordering from small businesses because I know that they're on Amazon. So just be mindful of it. I love. Mm-hmm.
I think that's what a lot of people are like, oh, don't support Amazon. But one thing we have to understand is most of the vendors selling on Amazon are small businesses.
Yeah.
100%. So yes, there's a lot of bigger companies, but you and I could, you know, have a product and share it on there. And that's a small business. So I think it's, again, just truly being mindful of how much we're ordering. And this is something that I'm still working on. And I want this to be kind of like a focus for 2024. And not only is it that I'm, you know, reducing my footprint, but also there's not a lot of clutter in my house, you know?
Yeah,
that was the hardest part for us. And I kind of want to go in the studio piece a little bit, because I feel like when we talked last time we saw you, you were setting up, or you're finishing building your home, I think. So that was a big thing for us, is I moved because of that reason, basically, because it's so much. I mean, I'm sure you understand moving things around.
Yeah, it took over Stetson's life, living and working in the same house.
Totally. The house that we have the studio in now isn't big, and my husband worked from home. It was just not manageable. Mm-hmm. But how do you manage that? And how is your sort of house set up? Like, do you have a specific area that you film in? Or? Yeah.
Yeah. So our house it's quite big. So we have like the top two levels for us. And then the main level, or the bottom level, I guess, like the basement, is where everything for our business is. So we have a couple rooms. We have a storage room, kind of like an inventory room, where we have shelving, so we keep everything. And then we have another room where the studio is. So everything is kind of contained downstairs. If I need to switch my living room from Christmas to Valentine's Day, everything is downstairs and I'm able to swap it out. So
that's super nice. So you have, is this the kitchen? Cause I've watched you film a lot of kitchen content recently. Is that your actual kitchen or is that your stage kitchen?
So I have a stage kitchen, upstairs, the beautiful one. And then the one, we kind of have like a suite. A lot of people rent those out for like mortgage helpers. We're very grateful that we don't need to do that right now. So we have the downstairs kitchen and everything where we have for ourselves. And then the upstairs one is where we create all of our content.
So you do your cooking in your downstairs kitchen. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to. And then your main kitchen of your home is your stage kitchen, where you can get all your angles. It doesn't affect your personal life because you have another kitchen where you can actually use for your own personal life.
And this has just started when we moved in here. So all of our other kitchens in the past, it was both. And it was doable, but at the same time, it was really hard because we're like, oh, the light's good. Let's quickly clean the kitchen so we can shoot.
Yeah.
It was very hard.
Stetson was running into all the time. Mm-hmm. Or because her husband also runs a home business. Like, he needs to come in and make some lunch.
Right.
In the middle of, she's just cleaning the area.
I'm trying to do an ASMR video. Stop talking on the phone. I'm trying to do an ASMR.
I know. I always have to say, Ben, I just say Ben ASMR and he knows.
Yeah, he knows the term. Okay. You just gotta say it. Exactly. So what stage, so you have your stage kitchen, you have your studio that you use for lives, it sounds like. What other rooms do you have that are sort of set up?
Essentially the entire house is our business. And we kind of, besides our one room that's upstairs, everything is for business. So the master room, the main bedroom, it's all just staged for our business. Nobody sleeps in it or anything.
Oh, so your two rooms upstairs then is where you live. And that's like your personal clothes. That's where you're going to mm-hmm. sleep at night. So yeah. You have the best of both worlds then. You have a staged home mm-hmm. in the home that you're actually living in. Mm-hmm. And you don't necessarily have to cross.
No, my sister came over a few months ago for my other sister's wedding, and she sat in the living room on the couch. I'm like, no. She's like, what? I'm like, nobody sits on that.
It's just for looking.
It's a prop. You can't sit on it.
Yeah. I'm like, listen, I can have a lumpy couch for my photos and videos. So nobody sits on it. I have another really comfy one downstairs where you can go nuts. But this one here, it's just for my business. Yeah.
That's really cool. And I love that. I mean, there's so many things that, like, within Amazon, but I think that's, I'm hearing more and more creators have specific spaces for their content, which I think is like super cool that like your business has been able to get to this point where you're like, okay, this is like my studio. You know, I have a designated area.
Well, also for, I don't know about you guys, but for business taxes, if you purchase a nesting bowl set and you personally use it, you cannot write that off. Mm-hmm. So we essentially have to purchase all these things. If I want it personally, I have to buy it again. But the one that I'm using for my business is just my business. Otherwise, we have no expenses.
I know.
So everything that I purchase for the business, it's just the businesses until I want to donate it. Whether mm-hmm. it's to, you know, a family or a thrift shop, but
I love that. I just think it's so cool. So, and I love your goals for this year. I think that's like, I mean, obviously like I'm having a baby this year, so my life is a little bit different. And I think it's good to be like, for the first time ever, business doesn't have to be your number one focus. Like for you, you're like, okay, my health and like, this is what I'm going to be focusing on 100%. Yeah. But I think as entrepreneurs, that's really hard. Like, it sounds like you're the same way as us, where you can work forever and all day, every day, and you just love it. But also that's not really healthy either.
No,
like, no, it's just take off, like step off your phone, step off your computer, even though you love it. Like, that's my hobby is work, but it's not sustainable. And it's,
well, I wasn't working out. I wasn't eating healthy. Yeah. We were ordering in all the time because I was like, the light's great. Like, it's in the summer, especially, you could literally wake up to amazing light. That's one of the reasons why we love this house that we moved into. We have so many windows. Yeah. And so in the summer, it's like, you could literally shoot from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. nonstop. And so it was extremely unhealthy. I wasn't cooking at home. We weren't cooking. We weren't exercising. It was literally just breathing work. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what's the point?
When your health is at stake.
Yeah. Or so, just looking at the priorities of things too, I think is interesting, but it's hard. And I don't know if it was for you, but like this year, I'm like, okay, it's going to be different. And I have to focus on myself more too. Like, I'm making sure I'm going to work out more. I'm doing physical therapy, like all these things. And
well, and it's crazy, like, to think like you have this crazy amount of, it doesn't actually even matter if you have 5 people watching you or 5,000, but you still have people watching what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if it's just me getting older or something, but I'm like, what do I want people doing? Because I'm doing it. Like, do I want people buying more plastic and eating garbage, and, you know, or do I want them to, or do I want to encourage them to make, you know, healthy steps to improving their life and their kids' life, you know? So it's crazy that, you know, the amount of impact you can have with this job. And you just don't think, you can just be like, oh, I'm just going to share and whatever. They can make their decision if they, but it's not really like that.
It's like a philanthropic kind of mindset. We become these philanthropists just differently, you know, instead of like creating these foundations and things to help people. It's actually more precise and more internal than that. Like, thinking about the future of what I'm talking about and what I'm sharing and how am I presenting myself? What are my habits? What am I doing?
Absolutely. And I'll be honest, at first it was about the money, because I'm like, I want to be successful, but now I'm like, yes, I do still want to continue to make money, but I want to change how. And I feel like now I have that, you know, kind of like a good foundation, whereas I can make these changes. And even though I'm not making as much, it's okay, because in the long run, you could probably end up making more by changing these, just by making these changes. So
I love that. Yeah. There's, it's tricky too, because as content creators, like, you can literally record everything you do too. And that's sort of interesting. Like you said, you don't have a schedule, and I don't either. I'm trying to get better at batching content so I don't have to come to the studio every day and film. But do you have, like, how does your schedule work, like, day to day? Like, is it different? Do you have it? I'm curious if you have a team too that helps you. I know you have your husband. Like, is it just you two?
It's just us two right now. I have a very solid morning routine. I'm very much into my faith. So God, Jesus, a huge part of my life. So I get up, I have my coffee, my water, my coffee. I do my Bible study, devotions. I do journaling, which I've just started redoing again. And it's amazing. It doesn't have to be faith-based. Just writing is so therapeutic. So good. And just kind of, you know, taking even like a few minutes and just like, what are you grateful for today? Like that mindset, like changing that mindset first thing in the morning is amazing. And then I go straight into my workout, and it's non-negotiable now. It's absolutely non-negotiable. And it just really sets the tone for the day.
Yeah. And how long is that? Just because we always think about time too, and how to best use our time. How long is your morning routine?
So I was just going to say, it's so hard because we look at people and like, oh, they have all day. It doesn't have to be hard. Now for me, it's longer because I can, right? I'm at the point where I can. So I do a 45-minute spin class every single day, and I do 20 to 25 minutes of strength. And then I go have my smoothie, shower, and then I get on with my day. But it does not have to be that long. 10, 15 minutes, skip, walk, do an hour. Like, I feel like a lot of people are like, well, if I just don't have 2 hours to work out, then it's like, what's the point? No, there is a point, even if it's just a little bit of time in the morning, because I think it just signals your brain. You're like, oh, I did that yesterday. What if I did it again today? And then it just slowly becomes a habit. And a lot of people think they have to be motivated. It has absolutely nothing to do with motivation. It has everything to do with discipline. And discipline in everything in your life.
So it sounds like at least a 2-hour window is for you. Every day. Non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable. And I wake up early. I wake up at 4:30 every single morning.
Do you really?
Yeah.
How much sleep do you need?
I go to sleep early.
Okay.
I go to sleep early. Sleep is,
okay.
Sleep is right on to you too. I sleep a lot.
I do too. Like,
I need my sleep.
So important to you too. So
yeah. I'm in bed by 8:30.
Okay.
I love it.
Yeah. But that's just, that's the season of life that I'm in right now. And everyone has different, you know, when I was working 3 jobs, I still did it. I still went to my spin class every single morning, you know? Yeah. So it's like, oh, but you have time, but everyone has time. You know, I feel like you have to just prioritize. Are you maybe scrolling through Instagram a little too much? Could you maybe take 15 minutes from there?
Get on the treadmill.
Yeah, exactly.
It's alarming when you're scrolling your screen time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Show me your screen time and I'll tell you how much time you have.
Yeah. Let's take it off the podcast. No. It's that thing.
But
no, I think that's really good though. And I always love to hear like different people's schedules or like how they work. And I think if you have your own business, like, it's so easy to, like I said, work all the time, constantly. Like, you can be recording everything. But it's really important to have those boundaries. Like you said, hey, sis, like, I'm actually working right now. Like, even though I'm home, you got to put those boundaries in place. But I think that's okay to have it change too and like fluctuate of just like you said, it's this is how I am right now. Like, this is your season. And I love, what you're
doing. Well, and you kind of earned that, right? So once you've been doing this for like 10 years and you're, you know, you're like, hey, I earned this. Like, if I want to maybe take the morning off or the afternoon, that's fine. You know, I actually really like to blog in the evening when my husband's just doing his thing. I put on, you know, my favorite show and I blog. So it doesn't necessarily have to be like, obviously, a 9 to 5. There's 6 PM comes around and I'm blogging, which I love because I'm I'm writing. Personally, I love to write. I feel like that's therapeutic for me. So it's just not like giving yourself grace, like, you know, just saying, oh, well, it's totally. Already 2 o'clock and I've done nothing, mm-hmm. you know? It's okay.
Do you find it hard for yourself to like give yourself grace? Because I feel like for me, sometimes I'm like, I need to be, or like when sales are low or like videos I'm performing, I'm like, I need to be working harder. And then I just like, I'm so hard on myself, or I'm just like, this is my fault when really it's not. You know,
I'm the
mean?
Poster child for that.
Yeah. Like,
uh-huh. Oh my gosh. Yes. But again, that is something that I'm really, really working on.
Yeah.
And just knowing that there's, you know, there's days and there's times where I take the day off and then the next day I'm like, everything gets done. It's like, we need that downtime too, you know?
Yeah.
Because we're using our brain so much and, you know, content creation, people think it's easy, but it's not, mm-hmm. It is not easy. And yeah, so I'm definitely learning to give myself grace. And I think I'm almost there.
Yeah. Well, probably journaling and stuff too helps. Like one of our like most pivotal moments in our business was doing like vision boards. And we do one every year. We're going to have our yearly meeting this week where we sort of dive in and be like, what do we need to change? What's mm-hmm. working? What's not?
Yes.
I'm curious, other than journaling every day, do you do vision boards, or are you into like any personal development things? Or
I love vision boards as well. I created one last year. I did not create one this year, which I probably should actually, because we haven't done ours either. Yes, but we decide something one day and we like it's literally done the next day. So we're very much like just as we go. Like we're just like we watch a documentary and we're like,
done. Hey, that's it.
This is what happened. This is what happened. We watched it's called You Are What You Eat, a twin experiment.
That keeps popping up on my Netflix for you, and I'm like, okay.
We watched it today. Yes, we watched today. We were literally plant based the next day, and we didn't look back. And it's been 2 months.
Wow,
it's just great. So we just kind of do things like on the camera, you know. It
makes
definitely eye opening.
Action takers, yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah. So I would say, yeah. So for scheduling, I know it works really well for some people, and then people really have to have that. For me, I just, and maybe again, it's where I'm at in my business.
Mm-hmm.
I just go, these are just the things that I need to get done today. If they don't get done, they'll get done tomorrow. Hey, do you want to go for a walk? Do you want to play? Like, so we just kind of just do our own thing.
That's really
everything
nice.
gets done, but
yeah,
that's so regimented.
I feel like we finally have a healthy work life balance where it was not like that up until 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Even two months ago. Wow.
It completely changed. And I've never slept better. I've never felt like just lighter, more energy. I think it's so important that we focus on what we're putting in our bodies, who are we, you know, associating with. This is a whole nother topic, but it's so important to really focus on ourselves. And I think a lot of people feel selfish, but it's like, okay, but how are you supposed to be there for others if you don't take care of yourself?
It's like that oxygen mask that comes out of the ceiling. Someone else used this as an analogy recently. That's that oxygen mask, and then in the airplane, you put it on yourself first before you put it on anyone else. And it's just, I think if more of us start to realize this as a whole, as a collective, we might function better as a society. Because I think especially now with all the mindless scrolling that we do and we're looking at screens all the time, like we forget another day goes by and I didn't go outside at all today. I only had like 300 steps in the whole day, because I'm guilty of that too. I sit a lot and then all of a sudden I pulled a back muscle yesterday, you know, just because I feel like, and I keep saying, I got to get into a regular routine, or at least something a little more routine. And it's hard because we just sit and we do our thing. We're so focused on it and what we're doing.
And also, like, you know, New Year's resolutions. I don't know if you're like a big New Year's.
I don't do them. No,
we don't do them either. We always, like we say, we have goals. Like we'll do our vision board where we always do it later. Like I said, we always need a break after, you know, the craziness of the holiday. And so we're like, let's get everything done. Anyways, we don't do those till later. But it's just, I lost my train of thought, but I was.
But also, one thing too that a lot that we do, you know, we look at someone and they're like, "Oh, self care." They're going to a spa. Like we're like immediately being like, "Oh, how nice!" You know?
Yeah.
It's like I get. It's like no, but what if we all did some self care? And it could be anything. It could be sitting on the patio and reading a chapter of a book. Yeah. Just taking that time. You know, I feel like now it's almost like taboo. Like, oh, you had time for yourself today. You know.
Right.
And I'm like, no,
we've been programmed, it feels like, to not put ourselves first and feel guilty about it. Oh, because I took a half an hour because I wanted to read this chapter in this book, or I wanted to go outside, or I just want to sit and stare at nothing.
Yeah.
We find, we've been like conditioned to believe that it's not okay to do that because, especially as women entrepreneurs, we got to power through. Yes. We're not weak. If we're weak, you know, if we need more sleep, you know, like we're not powering through.
Or that's what I was going to say about the vision boards of like we always want to do more and be better than the year that we had. And so, and setting all these bigger goals. And like, that's what I've decided to do this year. It's like, I need to accept that I'm not going to set those goals.
Yeah.
But for some reason I feel guilty that I'm not, you know, doing that, but it's a weird thing to sort of
like I already know, that my business is actually not going to make as much as last year. And I'm okay with that because I'm going to be rich in other things and, you know, happiness and in being able to feel comfortable in my skin in the summer. So I'm, you know, like I'm okay with that because I know if I were to just go and make more, there's so much so many other things in my life that would have been lacking.
Exactly.
And so, you know, that's one thing that I always try to push is self-care, or sometimes I'm like scared to like post something on my stories that I'm doing because people are going to judge me that like, oh, you have this time to do that. You know, it's hard.
The interesting part that you're saying, what I hear you saying too, is that you're making some changes in your content because of like the videos you've been watching or whatever to make an impact on the world. But at the same time, you prioritize your self-care because you know that is what's going to give you the stamina, the strength that you need, the focus that you need in order to do that. So it's really, that's like a thing of itself. Your self-care, it sounds like your own little nugget. I am not deviating from this because I know I can't work well without it. And the rest is just the changes that are being made is because you're consciously making changes for your content. But still, that's the missing link, I think, is this is my time. And I'm not I'm doing my devotionals. I'm doing my writing. Yeah. I'm gonna go for my walks with my husband in the middle of the day if we need it.
Yeah,
because we know we're gonna have this big focus later on. Like that's what I know I'm striving to get to. But that's what we need to get to, isn't it?
That's where we need to get.
Is what it's gonna be doing. But if we don't have that special time for ourselves, this is gonna be chaotic.
It's gonna be chaotic, and maybe I'll be making enough, or maybe I'll be making a lot for another year or two, but then what happens when I get sick, or when, you know, what happens when things in my life start to fall apart? Then it was for nothing. You know, like
but that's really good to bring up, because I always feel like there's those like pivotal points in business where like we're struggling with this one thing, and then we're like, okay, we're actually going to go all in on this. Like pivotal moment for us was focusing all on Amazon, and then a bunch of other things happened, and then things are not working. And then a pivotal moment for us was like, okay, I actually need to move. You know, you have these things like that are like those big game changers, and you might not feel like they're maybe, like you said, you know, your business is a little slower than normal, but this might be the pivot that you need to like have your business explode again, because maybe this is the message that you're supposed to, you know, be talking about. So I think that's really exciting too.
That's exactly it. You've said it all for sure.
And that's really exciting. And I love that that's your goal moving forward in 2024. Mm-hmm. It's always fun to see what people are focusing on.
Yeah.
But I just love that you're doing that and you're able to do it still with what you love. Like you're still doing Amazon finds, you're still being creative, you're still doing videos, but it's just like with a different focus. And I'm definitely going to take away from this conversation of like things that I can think of again, just like, because I've been thinking about it. I'm just, I really want to place this order of products? I know they're going to perform well, but I'm like, what am I going to do with them after?
That's the thing. And I struggled with that too. But, and again, there was this other documentary, which was just kind of explaining and very concerning of how where our planet is going. And you're like, I just don't want to be part of the problem, you know? Mm-hmm. So what can I do with the stuff that I own? And it's not that I'm going to stop shopping on Amazon, right. But it's what I'm going to be sharing. So instead of plastics, there's so many beautiful, like, you know, like ceramic and, you know, like other things that are not actually affecting yeah. our oceans and things like that. So
just
and
being I've never more been, conscious about what
yeah,
you're
Yeah, I've
getting.
Never been someone who, not like I cared, but I've never been someone who like cared so you. Much. But now I'm like, I think it's yeah. again, getting older and getting to the point where I want kids. And I'm like, what is our kids going to grow up in, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's just, yeah, thinking yeah. ahead.
Yeah. One other question. I know we're getting a little short on time, but I'm curious because you mentioned it right before we popped on. Your thoughts on brand deals, because it's we talk about it a lot on the business and the podcast.
Yes.
Like we do a lot of brand deals. A big partner for us this past year has been QVC. Like we love working with, you know, bigger companies. I'm curious your thoughts on it.
So when I first started, I did a lot of sponsor content, and it was the approval processes, right? So I'd accept the job, and then they'd have to go through all of my content and they would either approve it or I'd have to come back. And I noticed a lot of times they would like say, oh, okay, well, can you just change this or change us to this? And at the time I had just started. So I was like, yeah, sure, mm-hmm. I don't care. And then now I'm like, oh my gosh, they like literally changed the words for me. So mm-hmm. even if I didn't agree with that, I still have to put that in my Instagram or in my blog. And when I started heavily more on affiliate sales, I was like, this is so much better. I get to do what I want. I don't have to get any more approval process from anybody. Yeah. So I think that was it for me, is just not being able to be fully my own voice. Now, I know that there's a lot of brands who say you do you.
Yeah.
But this is a you know, this is a sponsorship. Amazon does that.
Yeah.
I probably do one or two, more one a year with Amazon. And they're like, here's the products that we want you to talk about. We don't need approval. Just yeah. share them. And if it's something that I genuinely don't use, I won't do it. Yeah. This last one that I did with Sulwhasoo, which is literally a huge part of my skincare routine. I use it every single morning. I use it every single night. And I was like, yeah, I talk yeah. about this on my own all the time anyway. But so just having to get approvals from someone, I don't know, just doesn't sit well with me. I don't like that.
Yeah. And I'm sure you have a lot of brands reaching out to you, I'm sure, because they see your videos. So do you just...
I just
delete. Bye.
I just like left.
No, it's a lot to manage, and we don't manage it on our own. Like, we have our brand manager, but I think that's a really, like, it gets weird too, because you're like, oh, this is a really great offer, but then you're like, well, how am I going to make this fit? Like, we're very conscious with that. That's what I love about QVC, is they're like, they're almost too lenient. They're like, you tell us what you want to do this month. And I'm like, okay, so I'm going to shop the entire QVC website, and we have complete control over everything.
Oh, and I
and
love
they never
that.
Give us a tweak. I'm like, you guys are awesome.
And that's the dream collaboration. Yeah, now, another thing that I also think of for sponsorships is how Instagram literally suppresses your views. So
bad.
Or as a creator, I feel horrible that I am not giving this brand that just paid me the views that it deserves, because I have to put ad on it. Mm-hmm. So that's the other side of it, is I don't deserve this money.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I get that too. Just as a selfish question, because I'm curious, stories, like, have those been working for you? Like, have those been not, like, I feel like across the board story views have been terrible. And that's also we got to figure out tricks of the trade too, because we do a lot of brand deals. And most of the time it's like, okay, a reel and a story, right?
Yep.
What are your thoughts on stories?
I don't. So up until like a month ago, I actually don't share any more. I just share personal stuff on like fun stuff. So hardly ever any links, because mm-hmm. as soon as you start putting links, views are half, if not more.
Yeah.
If you put anything that Instagram knows you're going to make
taking
money
them off the platform,
or taking them off the platform. So I just post like either my food or just fun things. My sisters and I did, I don't know if you guys saw that, but my sister and I did like, we recreated a scene from Friends, where the three girls are in their bridal dresses. And because I owned a bridal store, I had all these dresses. So we recreated the exact same scenes. Everybody loved that. Fun. I'll share my food. I'll share my fitness. But I decided that stories is not going to be anything that I share on my reels because it's just not worth. It's not worth it.
I think that,
curious, just for the listeners, do you ever direct people to like link in bio or my Amazon storefront during just the link, just your talk? Like you'll say, hey, you can find these in my storefront if you're curious, without actually putting the link.
Mm. Oh, in stories?
Yes, in stories.
No, I haven't tried that. I haven't tried that, but I think I just accepted it.
Yeah, you just accepted it. It's a personal place for the place for the personal stories.
It is. And maybe that's something I need to take away from the conversation too. I think it's hard when, I'm sure you have the tracking links where you can see where all the sales are coming from. Yes. And I'm like, that's like our third driver for sales is our stories. And I'm like, where's the happy medium? But I know that the personal content, you can see it in the analytics.
All of that
performs way, way better than any link you're going to be sharing. So we've been trying to find like a happy medium of like posting more personal stuff and then maybe doing engagement and then doing links. But I was just curious your insights on it. But
I think I've
just let it go,
that.
It sounds like.
Yeah. And it's so much more fun. I don't have to, you know, like I used to, so part of my morning routine after everything that I shared would be finding the deals and then posting. Yeah. That took at least 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it simply wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't worth it. People were not clicking, or again, Instagram then suppressed the views. And same as the broadcast channel, like I started heavily sharing on that. And then I was like, I don't know. People don't really care. I have, I'm continuously getting more subscribers on there, and I'll every so often post, but I don't think it's something that we can, really focus on being a main driver.
For how much time that it takes to do those things and then you're getting in return.
Just think about too, for like the listeners, and we've talked about it a lot too, of just like there's 100 million things you can do. You need to be on TikTok shop now. You need to do a broadcast. Yeah. You need to do this. It's like you're always tempted with doing 100 things a day.
Because seeing other creators do. Like, so other creators do, oh my gosh, I need to do this. And this is why another goal of mine is to stop scrolling. Mm-hmm. Like, have the people that you really enjoy watching content from, but then don't do more than that. Yeah. Because you're going to see someone succeed on the broadcast channel or Instagram stories or TikTok, and you're like, well, I guess I need to do that too. No, that doesn't mean that,
Yeah.
Because maybe
then
they're
start
doing
comparing
well here.
Yourself again, like you were saying earlier.
Mm-hmm. The circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
it's a love hate relationship.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But this has been, it's been really fun to hear more about your story. I think it's so cool of just like where you are now. Like you were hustling for a long time.
Yeah.
And you had to go through a pretty scary thing to like actually make a change. And I love, like I said, I love your new goals. And I think that's really good to hear. And because it's been a goal of mine to just, you got to prioritize yourself, and it's okay to not, even if your business isn't doing as well as you it was before, that's okay. And having that moving forward to 2024, rather than how much money are you going to make? How many followers are you going to get? Like, I think is really awesome. And again, it's a good takeaway. It's a good takeaway for me. And I hope it's a good takeaway for people that are listening.
Health is wealth. So you really, if you have the money, but you don't have your health, you have nothing. And I think, again, that's another thing is as you get older, you really, that health is wealth, that saying, it's just something that, you don't take lightly. It's like,
right. Cause it's so true. What you do now, what you're investing in, it's never too late to start, but whatever you're doing now is going to pay off for you just tenfold in future. You have to take care of your younger version so that your older version has better mobility.
100%. And I think a lot of people don't think about that, it's just something that we don't think about because we're so busy with everything. Mm-hmm. We're just so consumed with everything.
Oh, in the moment.
So
I know we don't have a whole lot of time left with you, but what does the future look like? You'd mentioned that you're going to start up your YouTube channel again, and I know that it was taken down, and then I believe you got it back, but
I didn't get it back. We started another one.
That's what you did. That's right. You started another channel.
Yeah. I guess aside from personal things, which is your main focus in 2024, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. What do you see?
Yes.
What's going on for
you?
Work-wise?
Yes.
For work, I think more we love to travel. We're taking a little bit of a break right now just to really focus on our new lifestyle change so that when we do travel, it's not as hard to transition to, you know, ask, making sure that we can get plant-based, you know, making sure that we can work out. It's so hard when you're like new to something and then you have to pick up and you're, we've done this and we started in November, but then we went to New York and it, everything went out the window.
Yeah.
So I think just a lot more travel. We want a baby. So we'll, you know, we'll see what God has in store for us there. But for business, just more travel, more sharing fashion, which is again where I started and I miss it so much. So sharing a lot more fashion. And so being like a mix of home and fashion. So like truly that lifestyle blog.
Yeah, and traveling and maybe fitting in like work when you travel so you can sort of.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, when I think about traveling, so again, bringing those like, if I'm going to Mexico or Vegas, okay, well, these are the swims that you might want to bring with you. So being able to incorporate work in, you know, in our travels. And still being able to, you know, continue to make an income, but all while enjoying our travels too. So, because up until now, people can be like, oh, but you have nothing to worry. You look great. And I thank you so much, but it has everything to do with how you feel.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and there was times when like years past when someone who was like nice and thin, they were kind of almost complaining about their body's thing. And I used to be like, oh, and now I'm like, it's fine because I know it has nothing to do with how other people, it's how you perceive yourself. How do you feel in your clothes? How do you feel when you look in the mirror? Yeah. That's important, you know, confidence, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a good segue into some of these questions that I like to ask. If you could have a conversation with your 18-year-old self, what advice would you have for her?
Well, the slowing down part, and it's okay to give yourself grace and it's going to work out in the end. Yeah. Like you're going to be fine. You don't have to stress. You don't have to worry about being popular, which to be honest, it was never a thing for me. I didn't care if I had that many friends, but life begins after you stop being so hard on yourself. Everything kind of just falls into place, you know? Also, wear sunscreen.
Wear sunscreen.
Start wearing sunscreen.
I used to bake myself too when I was a teenager.
Oh my gosh.
We used to put the Swedish tanning oil, you know, you just rub that on and go bake out in the sun in the beach in Southern California. That was my sunscreen. There was zero. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a hard question because I feel like you learn so much and you're still in your 20s. Which is I love my 20s, but I feel like you learn so much in your 30s, you know, like I feel like kind of life almost starts in your like you just learn so much in your 30s. So just be patient, work hard, but give yourself grace and make time for other things in your life, not just work. The work-life balance is the best.
Well, this has been so good to get to know you and chat a little bit further. We'll have your links below. But if people want to keep up with you, where can they find your blog, socials, everything?
Yeah. So I think if Instagram is a great place because again, I'm really going to be sharing a lot more and I started already, but just like a lot more personal stuff on Instagram. I'm still pretty reserved. I don't like to share absolutely everything. Not that I have so much going on. Like I'm a pretty boring person, but I don't specifically say where I live, mostly because of like past things that have happened. So I'm somewhere in the Pacific Northwest.
There you go.
just like kind of keeping up with my new lifestyle, things like that. I'm going to be sharing a lot on my stories. And then of course my blog and our storefront is a great way to see what we're loving.
I love it.
And I will add the links to the show notes for the episode so you can find.
Yes, this was so, so fun.
Thanks for having me. This was so fun.
Thanks for listening to the Everything Envy podcast.
If you love this episode, then please take a moment and give it a 5-star review and share it with your friends.
And if you're not yet following Everything Envy on social media, all the links and our favorite business resources are waiting for you in the show notes for this episode.
Until next time, have an amazing day.